Now, I don't know just what messages I'll be bringing in the services here, but try to bring out something which is valuable to us in this end time. You know, the Word of God is a most amazing book. And I know that in the last church age, that's the seventh, and not the sixth rather, not speaking of the Pentecostal age now, because that's part of this age. But speaking back in the day of Wesley, you know, they had the Word for their day, they had a measure of it, they had a portion of the Word of God, and the people took that Word out, and it was related to their day. It, just as that message fit into the whole Bible, and they could take and make the whole Bible relate to it. And when they preached, everything they saw in that Word related to Wesley's message. And of course it got perverted. And then anything went. And then, you know, when the gifts were restored, every time that the Pentecostals opened their mouths, they were, and I don't blame them, I was right in there with them. We found scripture after scripture that referred to the gift ministry, and especially the tongues evidence. We really rode that horse fast and furious. I think we sort of ruined it. He's pretty much of a dead horse. Now, this day we have the prophet's message, and you'd be surprised how the whole Bible relates to it.
Amen.
It just seems you just turn page after page, and there's that same message. And it's wonderful. Especially wonderful because we're fortunate in that we have a vindicated message. You know, that's one thing we're standing on. I realize that the excitement's good, and I like excitement. I agree with Dr. Finney, Charles Finney, who said if the people are not excited in the church, they'll get their excitement someplace else. That's right. There must be excitement. Christianity must be exciting, or you're going to have to try to find some excitement somewhere. And this Word is exciting, but we're at a place today where the excitement has died down in a great way because Brother Branham's demise. You know, he carried us along with his excitement and with his reality in the Word. All you got to do is to pick up a tape and hear it, and you'll find that many times you can't hear what he is saying because the people were carried along with his enthusiasm, and they got to screaming over heaven knows what. Now me, I like to shout too at times, but I keep my mouth shut if somebody's preaching. And sort of keep my excitement in here until the time comes when it can come out. Because you might stop somebody from hearing something. And much of those tapes, many of them, you can't hear what's being said. And I'm glad the people are getting something. But you ask them just what they're getting at that time, Ken, when they don't know. We must have the Word. There's got to be some type of understanding of that Word if you're ever going to act upon it or live that Word out. So we were carried along by his excitement, by the reality that he had. And I kind of think that Noah's family was the same way. They said, well, Pop never made a mistake. And us seven believe in him thoroughly. He was the eighth one, see? And they were very excited. I think until the day came when they got in the ark. And then they shut it. It was something like the black hole of Calcutta, but I believe the light of God was in there, like in the land of Goshen. There was light. And you know, those 7 days must have been pretty rough when they were in that ark, before that rain started to come, proving it's vindicated. The excitement had died down. And now they were waiting, shut up, to the Word that had been preached. Is it going to do what he said it would do? And you know something? I got a feeling we're in the same position right today.
Amen.
The excitement has died down. You know that? In many ways, except we go daily by the wine of the revelation, the Word of God, which the Lord said in that fourth age, don't destroy the oil and the wine. Now we have that wine of revelation. We have the Holy Spirit. But there is no doubt that there is a great calm has beset the ship, and it seems like ain't nobody going nowhere. until some say, ain't nobody got nothing. Just count me out when you say that. And I got more than I ever had, but I may be doing less shouting about it and have less verbal and physical excitement manifested. But I believe, like Noah, we have more than we ever had because we're just beginning to see the final outworking of the promise for this day. So we appreciate everything that the Lord shows us, and what He shows us we appreciate more than anything in His Word, because this Word will endure forever. A lot of things we said and did years ago, as I mentioned during the Pentecostal age, we referred Scripture to it, and we were so happy to find all these things that didn't work out. My man, I guess I got some of those old sermons that I don't know if I have or not. Then got finally burnt them because they weren't any good. I got a few left that I sure preached with 4 yards of error out of 4 1/3 material. And I might have had 1 foot truth out of the 13 feet. But believe me, it was really something. And I could go back over those old sermons, and you know, I thought they were so good and so accurate. And they were so rotten and so inaccurate. Only the grace of God to open our eyes to the injustice. And I guess you've heard a lot of sermons that you thought were so wonderful. And my, they were wonderfully tragic. Oh, the wonder, blunder of it all. Now today, many of the things that you're quiet in your soul, but you're trying to get them. And that's good. You know, as I tell folks, you'd never believe it, that years ago my language was perfect. It was, too. I could speak beautifully and flawlessly, and I could teach school. I never heard any kid ever talk back and say, now, teacher, there's no like that, and you aren't teaching that right. Or mouthing off, you know. There's a place where you got to listen. And too many folk weren't wanting to listen to what the prophet said. You know, they wanted to be where the action was, but they missed what was behind the prophet's action, which was the Word of God. One day that same Word is going to become incarnate in a bride. Because the Bible said, we shall not all sleep, we shall all be changed. Now that's not just a verse of Scripture, brother and sister. If that's just a verse of Scripture, forget it. That Word has actually got to come to pass incarnate. And it is not the manifested, really real Word of God until there's a group of people standing here who are changed as they're living and breathing and walking and eating. And they walk into the kingdom. And you're going to see it. So, whether you know it or not, we're fulfilling a part of that Word today. So, well, brother, I want that other part. And I see there, shame on you. You're getting carried away with your own little foolish thinking. Just cut it out. If you're going to get over there, and that's the Word, then you've got to be the Word right now while you're sitting here. And kind of a tragic thought maybe for some people. But they're hoping down the road we're going to see something. Oh, you ain't going to see nothing down that road unless you see it here. If I'm not the Word here in the doldrum, I'm not the Word in the yacht race down the road either. I'm not the Word of God like Abraham, feeling the pinch of his age, and he was in worse shape 1 minute before he was changed, which signifies the resurrection. That's right, he was in worse shape 1 minute before he changed than any time in his whole life, because he was 1 minute older and more shot. And yet, he was just as much Abraham. That Word of promise, which was brought into manifestation, I think he was just as much at the worst moment of his life, just as much as he was in that great moment. Now where is your faith going? Is it going up or going down? Should be going out. Because you got to have faith, brother, sister. Enoch walked with God, and he was walking with God just as much then as when he was not. For God done took him. So there's where we are. Maybe I'll preach a little message on that, brother. 2 hours on the 20th century made a confession to get you up on top. Now, I don't know how these things are working, who can hear what. I could really have my mic around my throat. Have you got a
good size plug-in? Where's your plug-in? What do you like?
What's the plug-in thing right there? Is that a big plug-in?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll work this, then I'll bring mine in next time. Because I hate to be uncomfortable. I sooner know that you're hearing, and I can sort of hear myself and get any bounce back right now. And, you know, it's a nervous age anyway. And there's just no use compounding it. You know, if I don't like standing my letter, there's no use going outside in 4 in the morning. So there's no use. Me getting nervous up here. I want everybody to be relaxed. I'm trying to get relaxed myself. And you'd be surprised, though, that how you can relax in a pulpit. You just let the Lord give you a little help. Now, this morning, I want to bring a message on the scripture of the present truth. The subject is the present truth, and I thought it might be a good subject to start us off on our various studies. And you might have to listen quite carefully to see just which way I'm going, because there's a lot of word study here, not play on words, but actually bringing out the truth from the Word of God. And this will take a little listening, and I'll go slow, and we'll see what the Lord will do for us. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious Eternal Father, we praise and thank you that you have magnified and exalted your name through the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, Lord, we know that you want to do the same thing, giving yourself preeminence in the bride. And we know that this is something that you're going to see done because you're God, you're able to see it all brought to pass. But we are so finite and so human that many times we wonder just how much preeminence you are getting and just how much glory that you are getting. And Lord, this is our thought, that we want you to have glory. And we want it above anything in this world, that if we just knew that we were giving you glory. But we know there is a way to test it, and that's by the Word. And we know, Lord, as we look at that Word and conduct ourselves in some manner of likeness, in with pure heart, of faith and integrity, we know that we'll be giving you a little bit of glory. Not commensurate with what you're worthy of, but maybe it will show a little love on our part and let you know we appreciate your grace and your person of yourself. Now, Lord, as we study the Word this morning, we know that as your prophet said many times, that anybody's hand can open the book, but only your spirit can open the Word by revelation to us. And so we pray now that you'll help us to just throw away everything but consecrated thoughts toward thee, O God. Open our minds and hearts with a real desire to know the Word. Bless the Word, Lord, that it come forth. Let not a thing be said, O God, that ought not to be said. Let it be in the real spirit of Jesus Christ. And may the people also hear it in the same manner, that together we might all be one with thee by the Word, and all go marching into the glory which lies before us. We'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now reading in 2 Peter, the first chapter, 10 to 21. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease, after I'm dead, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Now, a fable is more or less just a story with a moral to it. Christ's morality is not the end of Christianity. Eternal life is. And when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, where unto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, the text is in the 12th verse, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. And the topic, of course, is the present truth. Now, it's well to know exactly what Peter is saying when he mentions here that that they are established in the present truth. Now, he is not saying that they have a need to be established in the present truth. Now, you'll notice that. He's not saying that they have a need to be established in the present truth. He admits that they are already established. And he goes on to say that as long as he is with them in the flesh, he is going to continue to remind them and impress upon their memories the truth that they already have. You follow? The truth that they already have. He does not say that he's going to bring them future truth, or that he has something else to teach them. Notice in verse 13 and 14, yea, I think it meet as long as I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. What of? What you already have. Knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as the Lord hath showed me. He doesn't say he has something else to tell them. He says he has told them. And he says they are established in the word that he brought them. So Peter most evidently gave the word of the message. Now you notice my language is very explicit, it is very scriptural, although you don't go to the original Greek, but it's the word of the message and the word ministry to the elect. He has finished it because he said, I have nothing to add to it. All I can do now is to bring it to your minds confidently, so that your minds will always be impressed with what I have given you. Let's go over here to John 17, the 8th verse. And hear what Jesus had to say about his word ministry. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. And known surely I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Jesus said, I gave them the words that you gave me to give to them. Notice also over here in the book of Acts, the 20th chapter, 26 to 27, Paul speaking, wherefore I take you to record this day, to make a record, that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Jesus gave all the words he was going to give them. Peter gave them all the words that he was going to give them. John, or Paul rather, gave them all the message that he was to give them. Now, notice carefully that I am not going to try to establish a rule here, as God has not revealed to me that there is nothing left of the word to come in the resurrection. As I say now, I'm not going to try to establish a rule here, because I have no revelation. I have no scripture that says there will not be some type of word ministry during that 40, 30 to 45 days in the resurrection. But my own belief, based on the word that I have just read to you concerning Jesus, concerning Paul, also John, Peter, the writers, and what the prophet himself said, that his ministry would be finished before he was taken, basing, I say, not as doctrine, this is my own belief, I do not believe that there is any word ministry that Brother Branham did not give us. I believe that word ministry was complete based upon Scripture as a precedent, that we have all that we need to know to put us in the rapture. Now, that he said that. Now, back to our text in the book of Peter. Notice the word that you be established in the present truth. Now, this word established is the very same word that's used or interpreted as steadfast in 1 Peter 5 and 9. Whom resists steadfast in the faith? You could read it, whom resists established in the faith. It's the same, it's identical word. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now, basically, the word steadfast means to be firm in its place. In other words, there's a certain place that you should be in, and you're firm in it. Now, this does not imply or simply mean a sort of stubborn resistance, but it actually means a solidarity in the very mass and body of the thing itself. That's not hard to understand. I'll explain it here. A steadfast person or an established person in the Word of God is a very solid person. See? So the word stubbornness sort of leaves you. The word bulldog faith also doesn't quite apply. It also sort of kills the idea of a very dynamic, hard-hitting, slugging type of person. No. Now, all that's good, and it may be there in a point, but this word is a better word. It means a solid person, a coordinated person. It's a person that's integrated. See? Now, applying that thought to the present truth, as we know it today, a steadfast person, an established person in this word, one with the present truth of this age, is well-oriented in this message. He's coordinated with the word of the day in which he lives. As Brother Branham said, Moses never came with Noah's message. See, Jesus never came with Moses' message. The people today stand with this word. They are one with it. They have brought every thought into captivity. There is no turning back in their mind to Egypt or to Sodom and Gomorrah. They are absolutely one with the word, and they are well integrated. In other words, this word is not causing them frustration and great nervous problems and terrible conditions. This word actually is one with which they are one. See, there's an orientation, an integration. In other words, you don't separate this word from the people and the people from the word. They're growing into a oneness. See? A firmness, a solidarity. Now also this word steadfast, as used here, is not so much in the singular. See? Well, I've got to say, I believe I'm that kind of a person. Well, I'm glad you are. I hope each one of us is. But as a body of people, we ain't doing so hot. Now, this word here means as a body of people, we're doing very well. There's a solidarity within the mass. We are one with the people. Sometimes in my more spiritual and rational moments, I get very good at this. And remember one brother one time said, they're singing a chorus, and he said, I'm glad I'm one of them. And he said, which one of them? And in my rational, lucid, spiritual moment, I said, I don't care which one, long as you're one of them. And you know, Brother Branham had the very same opinion. We sort of lost it. Now, this word here, to be steadfast in the present truth, absolutely puts each person who is doing his best to believe this message without trying to take a leadership over the people, Now, notice I put a qualification in there, because I've done it. But there certainly is room today to have a unity amongst the people. And we must strive for that unity, because this word will bring us into a unity. See, Brother Branham never spoke disparaging to anybody. He took the attitude of the Apostle Paul, that if he even preached Jesus Christ for contention, thank God he's being preached. And as Peter said concerning those that take the name of the Lord Jesus in a vulgar way, what down south they call holy handing and all, many people say, oh, I feel so disturbed when that person used the name of the Lord wrong. It should make us leap for joy that they can't stop using that name. We've got a long way to go. See, we think we're kind of righteous. We feel kind of bad about a man cussing. Now, I admit, there's a place for it. But there's a place you can go wrong. It's better to look at it the way Peter did. On their part, he's vilified, but on our part, he's glorified. I even wonder if these Jews that scream out in their rotten language, say, Jesus Christ. What do they know about Jesus Christ? But they're cursing. But they can't get away from that name. See? So, if we get this right, we're going to have to leave this camp meeting a little stirred up about getting along a little more with those who claim they believe this message and though they use it to their own end. At least, thank God, this word is going out, because I can name you names, not the deep, but the places where men use this word to aggrandize themselves, and the prophet's ministry to walk out upon, but there were sheep out there that heard it and came to the light. Yes, established in the present truth, brother, sister, is to be well oriented. You're in your place. You don't get shoved around, but neither do you shove anybody else. Oh, that was a charming thought. Right there. Said, maybe I ain't going to be shoved, but bless God, I may be in there doing some shoving. Now, you don't mind that, do you? Now, the prophet's word placed the bride with the whole body of Jesus Christ. Because remember, the bride is substance of him, because he's his body. And if she's incarnate word, then she's got to be incarnate word. So remember, we're not just the body of Christ, we're the body of truth. Now, the present truth of Paul and John and those that were the writers that God entrusted with this word, now listen, they placed the New Testament bride with the resurrection kingdom of Jesus Christ. Sure it is. Let's go to Acts 15. You'd be surprised when people don't know this in the Bible. They think the Jews are going to sit in one corner, we're going to sit in the other corner of the millennium. That's wrong. Now, verse 14, Satan has declared how God, for the first time, to visit the Gentiles to take out of them a name for his people. I mean, take the people out of them for his name, and got that backwards. And to disagree the words of the prophets is written, after this I'll return and build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I'll build again the ruins thereof, and will set it up. Now notice the tabernacle of David is continuously built right now. The Gentiles being added to it. Now what did it? The Word did it. See? God bringing these people into the inheritance given to the elect, of which Abraham was the chief, see, and the Gentiles are brought in. Now, every single age adds to that kingdom by the word. And so today, this message of William Branham, prophet of God, brought in the bride to place her in the kingdom of the resurrection. See, how wonderful is this truth? And that's what Peter said. You've been placed. You're established. You're one with that word. You're one with Christ. What did it? Them receiving the word. What word? The word of the hour. The word of that day. Not yesterday. No, sir. It was the present truth. Now, notice also the present truth does not refer to some truth under consideration at the moment. You know, many people think that's what Peter wrote here. Now he said, brethren, the present truth is this. We're studying whether women ought to have short hair or long hair. Now that's exactly wrong. That is not the present truth. The present truth is the truth which is present with you. Now listen, true instruction by your teacher. That's right. The present truth is that truth which God has reserved for this age. Now remember the Pentecostals had their restoration of gifts, went to sea. They misinterpreted. They made a dogma creed, organized one out. Remember Wesley had the truth. They perverted it. Luther had the truth. It was perverted. Now today we've got the truth. It'll be perverted too, except in the mind. Now this truth is the present truth. And it's not something under discussion. It refers to that which has been given to you for that age. Now, I know many people don't understand that there is a message for every age. Now, let's just try to go back here to Titus. And I think maybe I can show you something here. All right, Titus, the first chapter. Verse 3. But hath in due time manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of God our Savior. Now here's the literal translation. But in his own private and strategic season, he made known his word, not just one season, not just one, his own private and strategic, of which there are seven for the Gentile churches. And the word of God never came forth except at the right time in God's strategy. And God's strategic season. Oh, hallelujah. What is that strategic season? They all perish except he said Elijah. God's strategy. I got to quiet down. So I'll never get to preaching. And I'll ruin my voice on top, but I can get pretty excited. God in his own strategic season, and this is the last one. He has made known his word in a proclamation. The Lord shall descend with a shout, and that is a military command. A proclamation, which I was entrusted in accordance with the command of God. Now, if you'll read on page 16 of Doing God a Service, this will be very nice for you to read when you read it right there. So you see, God has a strategic season. And in this strategic season, there is a present truth. And you are instructed by your teachers in it because you don't know it yourself. What do you mean with the 5-4 ministry now, Brother Dominion? I imagine Brother think he's got his nothing book with him. I got mine in the car, and I think I have it somewhere. You can look up a lot of passages in there. Look up what he said about Jesus. The Holy Spirit were given so you could be taught, and you didn't need a teacher, then Jesus became redundant and very foolish because he set teachers in there. You know, even the elders are asked to teach, and they've got to teach because if the elders will lead the congregation astray, if he's not truly ordained to God. See, a five-fold ministry bride, brother, sister, cannot lead anybody astray. I mean the ministry to the bride, that's fivefold. If you've got people today say, well, we're going to take away this to take away the ministry, well, here it takes, then you be my guest. But you took something out of the book. See, I'm not trying to grab the next, and I'd be one of the happiest guys in the world to just go home and get a job sweeping sidewalks. And I'm not kidding. Not that I don't love God's people and don't love to preach. But it's most amazing where people get all fooled in it. Because the very Greek structure of this word agrees with Brother Brand. He said, you preachers, I just gave you a line here, an outline. He said, you've got to take it and break it down to the people. What did Paul say to thee and Peter say to thee? Amen. What did Jesus say to thee? That very word that you get in that book of John where he said, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Oh, Protestants, you're so wrong. And Catholics are just as wrong. Catholics say, ruin my sheep, ruin my sheep, ruin my sheep. It's not. It's rule and feed and rule. That's the actual translation. And over there in the book of Hebrews, it says that they then that have the authority over you, who teach you the word of God, who rule over you. What is it? It's the word of God. And it's ordained to be taught to the people. You say, Brother Dale, are you trying to say you're a teacher? No, sir. I was simply taught by the prophet, trying to tell you what he taught me. And every scripture I find and what he taught in those tapes, that stored up through, I take to this word here, and when I can see what he taught from those tapes and this word, I know I have got it, because that's what he did.
Amen.
Amen. You see, now, notice also here, we go along, looking at the present truth, we see an opposite to it in verse 9, 2nd chapter, I mean 1st chapter, verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old things. You hear what it says? This fellow's in trouble. Whoever he is, now just don't get your own thoughts now, because I'm going to explain it to you. It'll be a bomb, don't worry. He that lacketh these things is blind. Never mind what things he's lacking. You just consider the fellow safe. He's blind. Can't see afar off. Doesn't know what's coming. He's even forgotten he was purged from his old sins. No redemption left. Now, let's read it according to the literal Hebrew, Greek rather. It should read, to whom these things are not present, he is blind. A present truth with a present life. Blind. That's right. What is it saying in the book of Revelation? You're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're naked, you're blind. Why? Because the present truth and the solidarity of being one with that word is not in the people. The covenant of God is annulled. The purging is gone. Blindness is saying. They're poor, wretched, miserable, naked, blind, and don't know it. This very same phrase is found over here in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and verse 6. Which is come unto you, what? The gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth all through you, since the day you heard it, and knew the grace of God in truth. Now, let's read the context, starting in verse 3. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, Colossians, since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, and as it's in all the word, I don't preach two gospels, just one, wherever I go, and bring it forth fruit in the world. It does the same to you since the day you heard it, see, and knew the grace of God in truth, not the grace of God apart from truth, brother, sister. It's got to be the grace of God in truth. Now, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Notice what Paul's saying here in that sixth verse. He said that gospel of truth is present with them, one word, and it brings forth truth in them. See? Now, look at the difference between this and 2 Peter 1 and 9. See? They're blind, and they cannot see afar off, leaving the covenant or the sacrifice, the cleansing. Now, how does that work? I'm going to give you an illustration. I don't have a blackboard here. Don't need one. I think I've got it somewhere in my piles of notes at home. Brother Branham drew a little picture. He drew a circle and said, now, Brother Dale, this represents God. He was teaching me something for the church ages. He said, this represents God. Now, he said, this Bible is the Word of God. Now, the Spirit of God comes from God, and it's got to go through the Word. Now, it passes through the Word, And it falls upon two kinds of people. Here's a little lady at the well. She's really a sinner. And here's a Pharisee over here. He's a real fine, upstanding man. Now he said, I'm going to color these a certain way. Now you visualize it. He said, this little sinner woman, she's about 90% black, but she's got one little tiny place of white in her. Now he said, this Pharisee over here, he's about 90% white and one little place black. Black is unbelief, you know, the sin, and the white signifies the good thing. All right. He said, the Word, the Spirit of God, coming by the Word, falls on both. He said, watch that woman receive it and go all white. But he said, see that Pharisee turn it down and go all black. This is what I'm talking about here, is what Peter's warning about. See? It all comes out what the prophet taught. You cannot turn down the Word of God for your day and not suffer the consequence of rejection. There cannot be a sacrifice void of that which is contingent to the sacrifice. You just don't say, well, hallelujah, I love the Lord and I'm born again, that's it. You see, it'd be entirely wrong. How can you be born again without that Word? See? Now, you mustn't be born a perverted Word. Paul Peter warns in this same epistle. He said, being born again, not of corruptible seed. Now, there's only one way you can get born, and that's by the Word, and there's two words, corrupted and uncorrupted. And the present truth is the uncorrupted Word of the hour brought by instruction. See? Just like I was instructed, now I must instruct. Instructed by Brother Brown, you are instructed, and if God's called you, you must instruct. If He hasn't called you, you must witness. See? But you've got a job. Now, the present truth. Notice how Paul vindicated himself. In 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, verses 36 to 37. I love these verses. What? Came the Word of God out from you? Or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now notice Paul said that? Certainly. Paul said it on the grounds of his vindication that he was the instructor of his age. Now, let's go back to Colossians a second again. I want to double emphasis here. Let's look at that sixth verse again. Paul speaking in verse 5, the word of the gospel came. It came unto you as in all the world. Didn't change it. Preached the same thing. Now, it brought forth fruit. Now notice in verse 7. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister, fivefold ministry in. See? Under instruction. God using this method to bring the bride to perfection, which is solidarity. See? Keeping this word before you in order that you will be an integrated member of the body of Jesus Christ. Leave one word. That's it. Take one word out. Add one word. That's it. See that right? Revelation 22, 18, 19. If you add one word, the place you're at it. Take away one word, the name is taken away. See? Peter and Paul coordinating. The very thing that Brother Branham said, so strong as to turn people right away from the Word of God. Said, I can't go over that. Why, that man is trying to tell us he's got to believe everything he said. But the bride said, I better just believe everything that's contrary to what he said and believe everything that he did say. That dear old Danny Bosworth once said, I think it's up directly on his tape. I know he said, remember this, he said, never doubt the word. He said, if you must doubt, doubt your doubts. They're unreliable. You can doubt anything you want, except what Brother Branham taught. See? And no matter what it is, don't doubt it. Wait for the answer to come. Even when it looks as though he's contradicting himself. You just haven't caught his point of view, that's all. But I'll tell you one thing. you let somebody begin to describe this audience from the back and somebody from the front, you may have quite a bit of trouble reconciling with the same audience. You haven't got the point of view. I always tell the folks how it is that for years I kept my peace on a certain thing Brother Branham said. And it happened to be about this business of God dividing the water from the waters, you know. And Brother Branham said, oh, we shot the moon, you know, back in Noah's day. He said, we got the atomic bomb and there's no rain, there's no water up there. And I say to myself, well, that's funny. The Word of God said there's water up there. And Brother Branham said there was no water up there. And then I read where another fellow, he got very brilliant. And he said the water up there turned to ice. And the sun shone through the ice. And when the flood time came, God sent a meteor and it burned a hole in the ice and it put a lot of water down there. And I thought, well, ice is nice. And that's very nice too. And so I went on day by day, wondering to myself, never said a word. Until one day, evidently my little bit of perplexity got the best of the Lord, and he explained to me. He said, certainly, you know yourself by what you're taught, that water is nothing but two gases. And so he separated the water, turned into oxygen and to hydrogen, and certainly there was no water up there. It was gases. And you know what? Not too long ago on the tape, Brother Graham said the very same thing without saying it that way. He said he sensed them up as gases.
You talk about a sharp shooter.
That fella didn't only have eyes to knock buckshot off old things. He had spiritual eyes to go the full gamut. So what you got to do, you throw away your own ideas and you wait for the viewpoint, you see, to come into full view. Now, the present truth. Now, it also might be good when we look at this present truth to notice 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, 13 and 14. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, that's elected, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our God. Isn't it funny how people get the shudders when you say Branham's message, but oh, how they glow when they talk about Paul's gospel. Pardon the sarcasm, I'm doing it on purpose. See, I just love, you know, there's nothing in the world get me like this hypocrisy. His friend, superficial, hypocritical, religious hogwash. You finally got you, didn't you, hogwash? You finally got down. I didn't coin that word, but I sure like it. Because it's a lot of hogs. I'm not going to wash them either. But they're so self-righteous. You following me? Sure do. What do you think? I was told you. Seven church age messengers, what are you saying to Paul? One day? I may be stupid, but not that stupid. It's all the limits. My limit of stupidity is doing stupid things, but not being wrong. That's my eternal life is bound up in that. I could be Euchred in a lot of positions and lose my church. I won't lose my soul. Paul said, our gospel.
Amen.
Paul's gospel. He said, my gospel. That was his because God gave him. Now, notice about these people here. He said, we're bound to give thanks to God. And then, you know, over here, he said, we're bound to give thanks because God chose you. And yet, some people trust election up and down. Oh, they did. If you preach election, you preach predestination. Oh, my, they're very horrified. Oh, they're ready to turn upon God. But Paul said, we're bound to give thanks. You didn't catch that, did you? I said, Paul said, we're bound to give thanks because God has an elected program. The purpose that God stands in it. Not to be hateful about, not to be mad about, not to fuss about, not to grimace about, but to rejoice. Say, hallelujah! I love election. Why? Because it makes you sure.
Amen.
Yeah, we all scramble for a sure buck, don't we? And the nation is scrambling for a sure way to heal cancer and a sure way to put you on Easy Street. And down in the States, millions are screaming for a sure way to have a guaranteed living. Oh, gosh. And they hate election. Well, I love this. I don't know about them, but the Bible says Paul said we're bound to give thanks because God has elected. Now notice, I just got burden there for a while. Sort of cheer you up. Now, it says here, because you're elected. You made the election sure by coming to the word. You've done got it all. Now, he said here that you were chosen through sanctification, the Spirit of God separating you by the word. What word? The present truth. Did that separate you? What was that cry that was given? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Doesn't even say who made it. You got to search the Bible to find out who makes that cry. And suddenly a cry goes forth about midnight. Behold the bridegroom. Not cometh. No, sir, that's not in the Greek. The word
is behold the bridegroom. Not cometh.
He comes later on. Behold him. Revelation 10:1, you don't see. Nobody sees that but the descendant. No, sir. Camera caught the pillar of fire. Saw the talk. Only he was in contact with that mighty messenger. You and I weren't. And the cry went forth at midnight. Behold, the bride. We'll go into that later, see? Now, we're bound to give thanks because we come by the word. Because this way, we're placed into Jesus Christ. We're part of that bride. Now, with this thought here, let's go back to 1 Peter again. Not the 2nd Peter, not the 1st Peter. 5th chapter, 1-10. The elders which are among you I adore, who are all from an elder, and witness the suffering of Christ, and also partake of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, that's by the word, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint, not but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being example to the flock. How do you do it? By the word and by example, you lead the flock, right? And when the chief shepherd, that's the chief pastor Jesus, shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. That's your reward. Now, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elders. Ye all be subject one to another. Clothe with humility, for God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore in the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Who? Resist steadfast. See? Solid in that word. How in the world can you resist the devil when the gates of hell, my brother, sister, can only be closed by revelation? How are you going to resist the devil or anything without the revealed word? How is anybody going to make a rapture without this word? How are they going to escape death? How are they going to get rid of the Antichrist? But he won't take him in. He's going about to take the whole thing over, and he will take it over, except those are steadfast. One with that word. Why? Because you're not bound. You can see down the road where that thing's going. Like Brother Brand said, you poison the white head. If you don't belong to union, he said, you can't have a job. But he said, just watch it, because we know where it's going. And when it starts going there, get out of there. Oh, bless God, I wouldn't join the union because, hallelujah, see? Oh, don't try out God, please, and out prophet the prophet, honey. Please don't do that. The sister said, well, can I wear my hair up? Yes, bless God, because it keeps it off your neck and you stay cool that way, honey. So preacher goes round and round the country saying, well, you know, when Brother Brown saw those lovely girls, they had hair down to hips. So nobody can wear their hair anyway except down their back now. Oh, gosh, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I was trying to prophet the prophet. I would say something here, but it'd be kind of crude, I guess. I was going to say, get your own crowd and beat it. Look, I don't have much integrity, but God has pity. If I should take something somebody else has fought and died for, then use it as my footstool. I got a little bit of pity somewhere, a little compassion, although I got a big lot of trust too. And I got a strong stomach, I really have. I've eaten worms and fruit, and I didn't bat an eye. But this is one thing I can't eat. Every revolting. He stands steadfast, knowing the same afflictions are accomplishing your brethren in the world. But the God of all grace, who called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, the Word. He never came down, shook your hand, called you, said, "Here I am." He said he would. See? Called you. He himself, that Word, called you. See? Now, after you suffered a while, he established you. Notice he said, he'll make you perfect, established, strengthened, set up. He said, "Brother Dale, I don't know that I'm one with that Word the way Peter said it. You know your trouble is? You're too nervous because he just won't let these things come and let these things go and let them come and let them go and to stay with the Word." See? Preacher comes along, you let your pastor take care of those problems. Don't you get fucked up. He's the guy to get fucked up. He'll tell you what's right or wrong. Brother Brand said he was the supreme authority in the church. And if he's ordained to God to lead you, he'll lead you right there where he's supposed to be. And if he's not ordained to God, I believe you'll know. He'll walk out or do something about it. Or at least he'll sit there and listen to tapes or something. The election aren't going to be deceived. Now, it's true there can be a lot of confusion. But you see, Peter and Paul trying to get rid of that confusion. See? Now this Word, just stay with it. Keep your mind full of it. Paul said, "I'm going to bring it to remember." Peter said, "I'm going to bring it to remember. I'm going to keep hammering on that Word and your mind." Now you show me one case where Brother Brown didn't hammer on that Word in that mind. He kept on screaming, "Alive to the prophet. Alive to the prophet. Alive to the prophet. Alive what? Restore that Word. Restore that Word." Right. Because it's going to take the faith of the children right back to the apostolic father. Now, watching that 8th verse. "Be sober, be vigilant, your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Now notice, it's at the end time that the devil is cast down where he really tries to do everything he can. So the closer we get to the end time, he's more and more like a lion. Now, when he first appeared to Eve, remember he came what? Thank you. He came as a sweet, seductive creature. And she was seduced. Now remember, and get this straight, the bride, original bride, was not raped. Pardon the expression, we've got to use strong language. She was seduced. She was honey child to death, and she just loved it. She was anxious to go right into the nest, and she was taken in. But at the end time, brother, sister, it looks like a literal rape going to go on. You'll join us or you'll die. You'll be one of us and you'll lose everything. There's a lion roaring at the end time because remember, 1st and 2nd Peter deals with the second coming of Jesus Christ. The two books do. Just like 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, they deal with it, so does it. Now at this time, he said, that Eve, of course, we said, that she was deluded and fooled. But at this end time, he is more ravenous than ever, and if anybody ever needed the Word, it's going to be now. That's why he said, "Lion." If you ever needed to be established it today, to have a Word to stand on, it's Noah's day repeated. It's Moses' day repeated. Brother and sister, we're in an Exodus period. And I want to tell you, remember, Pharaoh's army doesn't want to let one go. You say, how can the devil be fucked up about a little tiny brown? All he ever has to do is to just really get, really honestly take from God one tiny bride. If he could ever break one member loose of the body of Jesus Christ, it's all gone. True. There'd be no rapture, no resurrection, no kingdom, no nothing. Because the bride's got to be complete, because that's the body. And that's why you can't change one word to or from. The Word bride. See? Now, we're establishing it. See? He said it's not as though you don't have it. He said you got it. Don't fuss. Stick with that Word. Say your mind bullet. Notice, Paul describes how poor old Esau, 2 Corinthians, 3rd chapter. He said, "I'm jealous over you," at the God, 11th chapter, "over the godly jealousy. I've espoused you to one husband, that I may present you the chaste virgin to Christ." Now, what's a chaste virgin? She's absolutely untouched. And she bears the seed of no man when she comes to her husband, but she's got to be a blood relative according to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember, he married his half-sister, and the other's married cousin. They're blood relatives. Remember, if we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh later, we better do that now. Then, we're one of them. Now, I fear that they mean, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, stole your mind. M-I-N-D-S. Not your moral. Not your motive. No, sir. Oh, that's true. But your mind. Now, what are you taking with your mind? You take him by the finest senses. That's how your mind gets an understanding. You don't hear with your ear, you hear with your acid part of your mind. There's an auditory nerve goes up there. You don't see with your eye, really. You're able to use your eye as a camera. And then the impress goes to the mind, and you read it. See? Now, what about this in the mind? It's the Word. Absolute Word by Word. That's why Brother Branham said, you say what the tape says. And he reared out a sort of, well, how are you going to put it? In my estimation, he made that statement emphatically for those who weren't able to take what he preached and trace it word by word in the Bible. So he said, you just say what I said and leave it there. Because you don't have the ability to go to that word and trace it down. Now remember, when the angel of God came to Brother Branham, he said in 1963, he took what the angel said right to the word and traced it.
Amen.
See, now a lot of folks can't do that. And it's dangerous to try. Because you can take almost anything to that word and come up believing something entirely different than what you started. Like, for instance, how can there be an eighth messenger when there's only seven? You just excuse it? They're excused it. Brother Branham was the messenger to the Laodicean church age, but this is to the bride. But who is it that said, I don't call you church anymore, I call you bride? Who was it that said he was dressing the bride with the word? And glory to God, if I've done been dressed, I don't need someone else to come along and try to curry favor with me for getting me off the beaten track of God by trying to dress me over again because I've been dressed. Maybe somebody's blind, but I don't hope I am. I believe we can see. And I believe we see that dress we're being dressed in. Now, going on with our thoughts here. Verse 8, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil. Now, where is he? We align him with hell and the gates of hell. He hates us. He's a roaring lion. He wants to devour us. And we are to be steadfast in the faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. All hope we have is based on the word, and that's why Brother Branham had to come, because as Paul said, if we say God raised Jesus, and God did not raise him, then your faith is vain. Huh? Supposing I believe this word wrong, where's my faith? Vain. Right? Vain. Oh, I knew about Brother Dale, that wouldn't hurt. That's what the devil said to me. See, you like a little seduction. You think that Jesus is any different from a red-blooded man? You think some... I can't go along with this nonsense. I've heard men say, well, I wouldn't mind. Well, I won't go to that. Let's just read it. It is better said, unsaid, because I'm old-fashioned. There might be some new-fashioned people around. But I'm just too old-fashioned for immorality, as far as I find. I just don't see it. Let's go back here now, listen. 2 Thessalonians, we're reading it. Now, the second chapter... beginning at the first verse. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together in him, and the seals and in the invisible union of the bride, Brother Branham says that that's the end time message, that you be not soon taken in mind to be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word. Paul said, I can't change one word. I give you the same word I give every place in the world, nor by letter anathema. Oh, I like these here, what Brother Branham told me on the sign. The Apostle Paul told me to write this to you. He said, forget it. Is that day of Christ is at hand? Now that's the day of the Lord. That's the day of Jehovah, brothers and sisters. The day of vengeance and destruction. When Jesus Christ comes upon that mount there I guess it's the Mount of Olives. He comes down and he saves Israel. As they're standing there screaming, "Where's God? They're going to destroy the old God state." That pillar of fire comes down.
That's right.
"That no man deceives the enemy, for that day shall not come except they come falling away first. That man has been revealed, the son of perdition." He said, "Now listen, you take what I gave you word by word. Don't you change one word of it. See? Stay with that word. Don't anybody interject a thing in it." He said, "There's a great day coming on this earth. It's not your day. Yes, it's yours and mine day, brother, sister." Now what are we going to do? Supposing the word of God comes to us today, what are we going to do? Stay with the word or leave it? Brother Branham said, if a preacher left that word leaving because he's God left him, is that right? If I leave that word, then what happened to me? God must have left me. He said, "I don't believe in those hard things. Look, I don't care what anybody does. Just go back to the Bible. What happened to Adam and Eve?" Banished from the presence of God. God left him. You cannot have a covenant abiding God abiding with his covenant if we break it. And the way we keep any covenant is by faith we believe it. Until that thing gets a hold of us. Now listen, at the end time, when they turn from that word, he opposed, exalted the devil below, that's called God, that's worshipped. He sits in the temple of God, showing that he is God. After he's showing he's God, and they preach on that. "Remember you not when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what holds, until he be revealed in his time. The mystery of iniquity already is working. Only he was hindered, be taken out of the way, and then so that wicked be revealed, from the Lord will consume the spirit's mouth, and blessings are coming. Even him who coming after working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and that perish because they see not the love of the truth. And for this God shall send a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, because, and that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Now, notice, the devil is after God's people, and it's getting worse. And remember, he's got one punch left, and that is all deceivableness at the end time. And it's the biggest punch of all. And it's the roughest punch of all. As Brother Branham said back in the old days when he said they used to kill you because you belonged to Jesus, they just screamed back, "Grace, Lord, receive my spirit," and they all wanted to be martyrs. But today at the end time, you've got to stand around and get the full brunt of what Brother Branham said in the church ages. I wrote it, but didn't know what it said. It was about 3 months ago. He said there'll be a repeat of all diabolical cunning. Cunning. Now what's more cunning than cunning? Word. Because word's wisdom. You leave one word, you fell for the cunning. Roaring lie. He'll try to seduce you into it. When that won't work, he's going to come down and bust it into it. And you're asking, look like God. You'll say, "Hallelujah. Hey, you know what? We have made an error on interpreting Scripture. Why, that God himself come down." Glory to God. Hallelujah. He said, "We're going to worship him, son. He's going to be a man. Through a church system." Now, what Peter said, be established, because that's the only way you're going to miss it. Stick with this word. What word? The day of your visitation. Not justification, not sanctification, not baptism of the Holy Ghost, not restored gifts, but restored word. Where not one jot or one tittle's moved away. What's it going to do for you? It said you're going to enter in. See? Sure. I don't think we all understand it all, but we stay with it. Now, notice what I'm showing you here. Peter goes way back, 2,000 years ago, and he said, "Listen, I want you to know one thing. I brought you the present truth. Don't move from it. Don't move. Don't look for anybody else. Don't look here. Don't look there. Don't listen here. Don't listen there. Just stick with what I brought you." Now, he goes from there to 2,000 years later, and he said, "This devil is a roaring lion 2,000 years later. And with all diabolical cunning, and all power and might and dynamism, he's going to be standing right there." Now he said, "There's just one thing going to help you. You stay with that word. What I say, do. What you hear me say, you believe. And you stick with it, because this is that sure word of prophecy that's going to put you right in the kingdom. See? And remember, every age has a present truth. The truth of the hour. And the truth of the hour, the vindicated word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now please notice that Paul was vindicated when he brought the word of God. And 1 Peter, we'll get you out of here in 25, 30 minutes more, don't worry. I'm not hungry. 2 Peter, the first chapter, 15 and 16. More I'll endeavor that I may be able after my decease to have these things always in remember. He said, when I'm gone, you'll have a record of it. He wrote it down. Brother Graham put it on tape. For we have not fallen cunning to thy fable, but when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He was. He absolutely knew from personal experience with God what he was talking about. And so does every single church age messenger have a confrontation with the pillar of fire, a revelation of God to bring to the people, and the word that follows it. Read your Bible. Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 4. Every church age has the same thing. Now, notice his ministry. I won't read it. Acts the 3rd chapter, 1-8. The man sitting at the gate, beautiful, and healed by the power of God, made the Pharisees and the scribes and the rest say, these men have been with Jesus. They knew they had a power. They said, by what power do you do this thing? They were vindicated. The Apostle Paul was vindicated in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, 4-5, when he said the word of God did not come to you in word only, the gospel, but it came to you in demonstration and in power. The truth was vindicated. And when Peter had the vindicated truth for what he taught, then he said, stick to this word. Now, it's very strange, but the whole book deals with the end time corruption of truth. And the people turning from the true word to the perverted word. Now remember, there are two trees. Alright? Let's look at those two trees. Back in the Garden of Eden, God said to those people, Adam and Eve, don't you touch of that tree because it's the knowledge. Now notice, it's knowledge. He didn't say it was good and evil, said it's the knowledge of good and evil. Right? Now knowledge is knowledge, and knowledge comes by the mind. That's where it comes darkly. Now, let's go to the Bible. The scripture distinctly says that God made everything good in the beginning. He looked at it was good. So therefore, when he looked down to earth, even after he made man, and man was the last thing he created, then that tree that he looked at, both of those trees were both good. That's right. Even the devil was good. There was no iniquity found in him. Until what day? You can tell the day by looking at those trees. Now let's watch again. God never made one thing bad, right? So there's only one thing that you can breathe in this morning, and that's this. There is nothing evil of itself. That's what the Bible teaches. There is nothing evil of itself. It's what you do with it. So, when God looked at those two trees, and one tree was life, and the other was death, and the tree of death was described as the knowledge of good and evil, and knowledge can only come from God. Now why? Because God made Adam, right? Then he made Eve, right? And all the knowledge they had was what God gave them. Is that right? So therefore, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil was what they would do with what God said. That's right. And that's just what Paul said. I'm afraid, he said, that the devil will pervert your minds concerning his word. That's what Peter said. And we're right at this end time, brother, sister, where the two trees are in full manifestation. There is the tree of life, the word, brought into full revelation and manifestation by the prophet William Branham. And on the other side, there is a full manifestation of the tree of the knowledge of evil, which is the creeds and dogmas of this world gone to absolute seed. Now, where are we going to stand at the end time? Will we stand with those who have read the Scripture, or we stand with those who have not read the Scripture? Now, I'm not going to read the two books, but here's what you do for yourself. You read chapters 2 and 3 of the book of 2 Peter, and I'm just going to read you verses 15 and 16, because I want to hurry along here. And account of the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to wisdom given unto him, is written unto you, as also in his epistle, speaking in them these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Now, what did Brother Branham say in that vision? He said, I am preaching the same gospel Paul preached. Right? And the multitude screamed, we're resting on that. R-E-S-T. But down here, it could be W-R-E-S-T-E-D. Because if William Branham preached the same message identical, and he did, then the same thing's going to happen to him as happened to Paul. See? The present truth. An absolute word-by-word faith in the word that God brought to us at this day and for our complete edification. Now, you can only know this message from what the prophet taught. You can only know the word of God and receive your complete salvation on the revelation that the prophet brought us. Now, in this denunciation that Peter gives in these two chapters, we're going to have to read this out because it won't take that time, he gives us our hope. And notice that hope. Chapter 2 and verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. Right? And also, the third chapter, the ninth verse, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. Don't put that way back there 2,000 years ago. Put it right here today. See? People are in such a rush for the Lord to come to the name to start. Brother Branham predicted we ought to be in the name by 1977. What if we just fail to get there by then? What will people do then? See? Now, I'm not saying we won't be there by 77. I'm looking forward to it. But I'll tell you one thing, if I had to wait till 87 and die in the meantime, I agree that he said this message, if it takes 100 years, forerun the second coming of Jesus Christ. See, the minute you stick your neck out, you've got a scripture right here to meet it. Now, I'm not calling anybody by name that says these things. I don't know if you believe or not. I don't want a preacher to preach, and I don't get a chance to hear many preachers because I'm usually preaching myself all the time. And it's a certainty I don't have much time to sit down and hear their tapes, and I'm trying to do my best to hear Brother Brown's tape and read the book. Although someone recommends a specially good tape on a stuff you haven't covered, I'm all for it. But notice what he said here. He said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. And Brother Branham said that you are in the bride and you are baptized with the Holy Ghost if you have received the revelation of the promised word for your day. I wonder if some have received it the way we're so edgy. Yeah, I've heard people say, I'm going to sell my furniture because he's coming back July. All right, but I'm going to buy some more because I've got my dough. That's several years ago. They went ahead and bought some. Been buying more ever since. I said, brother, what would you like to do? I'd like to find out. I said, I'm actually building me a house. Yeah, I would. You said, you build a house? Yeah, I'm going to build a house. He wasn't the Lord coming. Sure is. He kept me building a house. Sorry. See, if you don't build your house and you're waiting for a certain time and you suddenly get flat concerning his promise, something's wrong somewhere. Because you see, Peter said, if you're in this word, you'll be strong. You'll be trying to push anybody, and then anybody push you. Now, I mean that in the sense of the word now, staying true to the word. I'm not talking now about someone slapping your face, you're duty bound to turn the other if you got that kind of grace. You can be pushed that way. And they take your coat, give them your coat. They call you Dirty John, tell them you're sick, and they can call you Dirty Bill. And it's in the middle. And that's our job. But not push out the word. See, some of us try to stay in the word and mean about it. You're supposed to stay in the word and be sweet about it. And I'm preaching to me. That's my job. See? Now, here's the secret. God has a present truth for this day. It is a message of correction of the perverted and rested word. It was wrong to rest the word then it's got to be right to correct the word now or forget it. Because if it was rested 2,000 years ago, what kind of shape is it in now, 2,000 years later? If the rested word destroyed you then, what will you do now but deliver the whole word to Satan on a gold platter? See? Jesus said in Matthew 16:28, there'll be some standing here who will not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Coming in power, the king, sure. And then they gave a vision of Elijah, Jesus, and Moses in the kingdom. And this upset those three men. Naturally. Well, they said, here's the kingdom. Moses is in it. You're in it. Elijah's in it. And Elijah's supposed to come before this take place. He said, that's exactly right. Elijah's going to truly first come and restore before this kingdom. In other words, before there's a Gentile resurrection. Elijah's going to come and restore. And what's he going to restore? He's going to restore the word of Almighty God. Now, let's prove it. Acts 3. Verse 19. Repent you, therefore, change your mind and be turned around. Now, that's pretty dull, isn't it? It's pretty dull for these pulpit thumping, screaming preachers who want a million altar calls a night. And scream to come by emotion. Repentance is to make you feel like a dirty dog. It is not. Repentance means change your mind. So that's true change. Well, glory to God, and I'm too tame. I got done sucked in by the word. I've been diverted by the written gospel. I've been jigged up and messed up and scrupled up. No, I haven't. I've been straightened up. Because he said, change your mind. So that's what he did. Now let's go right back to the Greek. And that's exactly what it said. The godly sorrow brings a changed mind. A changed mind is not godly sorrow. People get repentance mixed up with godly sorrow. There's a lot in godly sorrow that doesn't bring repentance either. He just gets sorrowful. Poor old Esau. He couldn't repent. He couldn't change his mind. Why? He had a reprobate mind corrupted concerning truth. He tried to see it. He said, look, he said, Jacob, will you please explain it again? He said, Esau again? He said, I just can't get it. You know, some people can't understand that the tokens here, they say it's still got to come because they don't know we're in the process of maturing and they can't figure out that last chapter of the church age book. They look you right in the big eye and say, I just can't see it. That's right, you weren't meant to see it. Yeah, they can't repent. They can't change their mind. I'm not telling you you're lying, huh? Repent, therefore, and be converted. Turn around, turn again. Now, if you got to get turned again, you must have turned the wrong way. Now, if you got to change your mind, to turn your right, then you must have had a wrong change of birth place to get down there. Simple as ABC. If Brother Gunter told me how to get to his prison, and he said, now you go 3 miles to the south, and then you turn 1 mile west, and I got it all mixed up. We're supposed to go 3 miles north and 1 mile east. That's not his trouble. That's my head. So, boop, I go down there. I mean, it's hard to get wrong. And two wrongs don't make a right. That's okay for algebra. Two minuses may make a plus, but not here in the gospel. Now he said, your sins may be blotted up. I won't talk about that. That's a goodie. When the time's refreshing shall come, we'll talk about that later on, too. Now, and when that's over, he shall send Jesus Christ, which is born unto you, whom the heavens must retain. He cannot come until times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Restore what? That's spoken by the mouth of prophets. What was spoken by the mouth of prophets? The word of God. What needs restoring? The word of God. Listen. For Moses, now listen. For Moses truly said to the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him you shall hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Now you tell me when that happened. It didn't happen. So it's got to happen. You show me where Jesus came and preached the day of vengeance. It didn't happen. But it did. Came down to the pillar of fire, Revelation 10:1. The preacher by a prophet. Listen, he said, that prophet. Didn't say Jesus, now he said, that prophet. And remember when the Pharisees came and said to John, are you Messiah? No. Are you that prophet? He said, no. He didn't say, holy boy, that prophet and Messiah are two different, are the same person. He said, I am neither Messiah nor that prophet. And I'm only going by what John said. And I sure hope he's full of the Holy Ghost like the Bible says, that I'm quoting him. And I'm saying what he's saying. Because it said, if you don't believe that prophet, then you'll be destroyed. So that prophet has got to come. And if those don't believe him, they're going to be destroyed. Now listen, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. What days? The first coming and the second coming. Now what's going to happen at the end, brother, sister, before Jesus himself comes back in his body to take a bride? I said his body. I didn't say pillar of fire, I said body. There's going to be a prophet called Elijah to restore that word. And if you don't hear him, then you will be destroyed among the people. See? There is a message of restoration for this age, which is set forth as the correcting the errors that have arisen all during the ages and relate the word of God to the present days to reveal the promise for the age that we may inherit eternal life. Present day demands a present truth, not dead man. And present truth is present truth, not future. That's right. Present truth, brother, sister, is not somebody else coming along and giving us another message. Present truth is not another messenger. Present truth is when the vindicated prophet came and brought us that revealed word of God, which we knew was the revealed word of God because he was vindicated and is taken out and taught.
Amen.
By a fivefold ministry and spread as a witness to all the world by the people who know the word of God. Because he said this word is going to go. We are all aware that God sent a vindicated prophet. We know how the word describes such a man, and we saw. Because he said, when a prophet has thus said the Lord, and it comes to pass, you hear him, and you fear him. See? You know, it's very strange. But the average man is smart enough. As Jesus said, you can look at the sky and know the day. The average man can go to a book and read it. I was a kid in Canada here, back in Alberta. One day, I got a hold of a book, and I saw a pretty red bird in there. It was a cardinal. And man, I said, that's the prettiest bird I've ever seen. And if I ever see a cardinal, I'll be a happy kid. You know, when I went down the state, nobody had to say, that's a cardinal. I knew. But I wasn't quite that smart when it came to the Word of God. The book of Deuteronomy told me that if you saw a man with thus said the Lord, you hear him and you fear him. The book of Malachi, the book of Matthew told me Elijah is going to come back and restore that word. But I didn't know it. But I'm going to tell you, brother, sister, when the man of God got up and explained it, I knew I was looking at a prophet. And I knew that this was the man I had to fear and the man I had to hear. I'm amazed that many people today who call themselves Christians say they're full of the Holy Ghost can pick up a book like I did and see a red bird, know it, and then see it in old carton when they see one. But I'm amazed that they can read that chapter over and over and over. And see a vindicated prophet stand up and perform what only God can perform. And then walk away and say, well, bless God, he talks in ET. And I say, yeah, but he talked like that. Oh, I can line up these boys that got miracle signs and wonders, but I want to see one with us, said the Lord.
Yeah.
I want to see one that challenged me. In the name of Jesus Christ, I take every spirit that's getting out of my control for the glory of Almighty God.
Amen.
And see you. Oh, listen, brother, sister, there's a lot of little dogs can bark. When they see that old 100-pound bulldog come by with jaws that you clamped out of a 600-pound pressure in one clamp, will break any dog's neck in this world. They kind of go around the corner. I'm not calling anybody dog, just illustrate. Okay. We saw the indication of Luke 17:26, the days of the Son of Man return to earth. Luke 17:30 is the net result the Son of Man revealed. And wicked turn is where we saw that bridegroom. When that midnight crown of behold the bridegroom, take a look at Boazi, the revealed word. And you know what happened? When that veil in that temple was rent 2,000 years ago, and they beheld their God hanging there, as in Psalm 69:22 and so on, spoken in Isaiah 53, they said, we don't want that kind of a God. We're glad you got rid of him. When that prophet message ripped down every creed and dogma of every denomination and every undenomination and every free thinker, and they saw him revealed there, and they said, we don't want that one for our bridegroom. I want to ask you a question, brother, sister. Remember, the woman and the man touched Christ in the bride. If you came for what you thought was a lovely woman, you'd heard about her. She'd heard about you. And you thought you had a love match. In fact, as Peter said, whom have you not seen your love, and though now you see him not, you're believing. And you think you qualify. But one day that man that you think you love, because you heard his voice in the telephone, you've seen letters from him, but one day he stands right in front of you. And you sort of reel back in horror and you say, that can't be the man that's supposed to marry. You think he's going to say, well, honey, we've engaged. Now I'm going to take you anyway, bless God, and beat your three little brains and let you my faithful loving wife. He would be so grieved.
Yeah.
He'd just walk off and say, let her be. And I cannot see one woman, one man, one woman, being in the bride of Jesus Christ, who when that veil was torn asunder, where he was so obscured by creeds and dogmas and misrepresentation and false interpretations, and there he stood in his full beauty. And some hung back in horror. He said, well, that can't be the one I'm supposed to marry. I'm so glad, brother, sister, when that veil was torn off, I said, he's my kind of a God.
Yes.
The God of the Bible. No horror that he should do this or do that. But the same God that even that prophet of God could say, I believe I'm one of his. But if I should wake up on the other side having been rejected, I'll go to hell loving. You know, there must be two different spirits and two kinds of people for one bride to say, isn't he beautiful? And for the other to say, I can't stand his look. Behold the bridegroom. They all rose, they trained their lamps. And we were sleeping, as Paul said, awake thou the sleeper, and arise from amongst the dead. We weren't dead, we were sleeping amongst the dead. We heard that voice, trim the lamp, get ready now. And then the voice came, come out. We came out, creeds, dogmas, superstitions, ideas. And the Bible said they went in to the wedding supper. And to me, that wedding supper, brother, sister, is a very beautiful thing. I don't know too much about it, but I just know this one thing, that a man went into it, and he was cast under other gods, which is the great tribulation. So something's going to happen on this earth in the resurrection. It will. And when the bride fully manifests Jesus Christ, whenever that is, I can't tell you, I don't know. I believe it's just before the resurrection, but I don't know. There's going to be people come by and say, listen, what happened? You've got something we don't have. It'll be too late.
Yeah.
Now, what did Peter say? He said, listen, I brought you the word. It's the present truth. It's what's vindicated before you as the word of God. See? Brother, sister, listen to me. I know you know this all along, but I'm just trying to do it to you. Just tell you what you already know. And just keep putting it in a fresh way before your mind. This message of the end time is the Word of God. This is it. And this is that Word that we know. It vindicates. Stand up. Stand up. Don't be dropping. Don't be pushed out of your place. Just stay with it. Amen. And as the prophet told us, he said, breathe it, and then love each other. Day by day becomes abundantly clear. There's only two things you and I can do. There's nothing else we can do. Believe this word and love each other. Because love will cover the multitude of sins. One of these days, brother, sister, love is going to come down and crown the mercy seat in the heart. Remember, there's only 7 church ages. When Brother Branham preached on the stature of perfect man, he brought out 8 factors of which the 7th is brotherly love. He told you. He said, you're in brotherly love. He said, oh, you snap at each other? He said, we fuss at each other? He said, we growl at each other. But he said, you let somebody get in trouble, you watch how they come running. He said, that's what got brotherly love. That's right. But he said, one day, it's going to be love.
Amen.
Where every neck of this soul is plucked because of the revealed word. When this, he writes this word in my mind, in my heart, then this word will be here and here and all be it.
Amen.
Every end that's plugged up, Christ will come into full view and manifestation, that bride is coming.
Amen.
Should be one with that word and have thus saith the Lord. She will be thus saith the Lord. Should be the living word of God for her days. And what she speaks will come to pass. Should have the word. So what to do with it? But in the meantime, brother, sister, you're going through a trial. Yeah, I know it. We all are. Frustrating, nerve-wracking. One fella says this, one fella says that. Don't pay no never mind. It's going to take God to reveal it anyway.
Yeah.
I may preach a lot of things here and you say, well, I believe Brother Bill's got to be right because the prophet talked a lot of things. Yeah, you didn't teach me a lot of other things, too. So I can't answer those questions. A lot of things I never got taught. I'm waiting myself just like you are. You see, just stay with it though. Just wait. As I say, if I could explain it, without a revelation, you couldn't get anywhere. You follow me? We've got the word, brother, sister. We've got the word. God sent one man, not two, not three, not four.
Amen.
Just one. And those people that are going to believe the prophet and be, I believe all the way in this, they are those that take it out, they do their best. Word by word by word. And it comes right in line with this. Established, brother, sister, in the present truth. Oriented. Part of it. You're not going anywhere. Now, you're with this message. You follow me? The Lord bless you. Shall we be dismissed? Yep. Maybe it's 8 o'clock, is it, brother? All right, fine. Let's rise and be dismissed. Kept you a little long, but that's all right. That's what we're here for. Gracious Eternal Father, we thank you to be with us this morning to study your word, showing my God that this is the word for this day. There is a word for the day, and this is it. And Lord, we know that there is no place else we need to go. And there's no place else we could go. And Lord, there's no place else we want to go. All we want this morning, oh God, is richer, fuller, deeper in the word that you have brought us by the prophet. Until, Lord, every little atom, every molecule, every part of the floor, from the top of the head to the sole of our feet, is absolutely one with Christ the Word. God forgive us our sins, our shortcomings, our misunderstandings. Cleanse us from all fault finding, and bitterness, and recrimination, or anything whatsoever may be amongst us. Help us, O God, to not only want love, but to give love. And may we, Lord, treat each other as we would want to be treated. Help us out of this end, we pray. May the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse us. The Spirit of God water the words in us.
Yes.
And we go down this road of life, O Lord, showing forth thy praise. We'll be careful to give thee the glory, for thou art worthy. Amen. Let's just depart singing that song, we'll walk in the light.